Today we are going to continue with the family factor. And as we've been going along, you know, we have to understand, and I mean, there's no pun intended, but any bridge that you want to build, no matter the style, the shape, or the material, or the construction you want to use in the bridge, there's always a factor in mind above all of that. And that the common factor amongst all bridges is what we call the weight-bearing factor. You can't build a bridge and then cross it and the thing falls down because you didn't consider the weight-bearing factor. And so let's just have that tree slide up. And so this is a little bit of our family factor under construction, where we've looked at over the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, starting with the foundation of reviving the intimacy of family, and then we've built it up as we've gone along. And we've intentionally looked at some different styles and different ways, and we've had different speakers come and how we construct this bridge and the family factor. It looked at various angles and designs on our family and the purpose of us. And so we have to understand that when we're building this bridge, we've spoken about your family at home and this bigger family, but constructing this bridge, the weight-bearing factor that is considered here is got to be really strong foundations, because the cargo that we're going to carry on this bridge is the most precious cargo of all, and that is your family and our family, and we want our family to be able to cross this bridge. And so today I'm going to be talking on building the family bridge. And building the family bridge, obviously it commences with the divine plan of union between man and woman, and that is a thing called marriage. Now, I know if you're single or you're not married, if you're single means you're not married yet, or you've been married and you're looking to God, don't dial out. This is for you, and this is helpful for all of us when we look at building the family bridge. I mean, Jess and Micah did an outstanding job last week on Kingdom Kids, part of family under construction. And then prior to that, Louise had spoken on singles, being part of the family, because sometimes people think because they're single, they're not part of the family. Well, you are, and you're vitally important and relevant and needed and personable and all part of building this family bridge. We have to understand two things. God designed marriage. It's not man's idea, it's God's idea. And He instituted marriage, not the government. And so this is God's plan, because He has a plan and a purpose. Carmichael stole some thunder this morning, but that's good. It means that the Spirit is speaking to us all. And we have to understand that God's plan for family, whether it's your family at home or this family here, that it's God's word, God's ways, and God's plan. Yeah, it's like having the NFL book. I've never looked inside, but some of you will understand it better than I do. The playbook, we have to understand that in this playbook, there is what position you play, who you are on the field, and what the actual play is. And Dom did a great job when he preached on the Is No I in Team. And when it comes to marriage and family, I'm sorry to burst your bubbles, there is no I in team. This is our first team is our family, and there's no I, and we have to learn to work that way. And our handbook, the Word of God, continues to develop and grow and strengthen our family. And if you've never read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, go and have a look. Because the design is spelt out there, for it's not hard to follow. And then goes on of our children in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Now, Bridget and I did a double header. We did one on God's plan in marriage, is that there are different roles that we play. We're coming up very soon, 35 years in marriage, and we still don't think we've nailed it. We are still students of God's word. His ways, His plans, we are learning, and I trust we're improving, right? 36. Okay. There you go. Still learning and improving. Okay. Wow. And if some of you feel, man, we're really battling, let me tell you, there's no condemnation. Well, should we have learned this stuff? Yeah, well, probably it's taken us 36 years to get there. You've all got, still got hope, most of you anyway. And don't be elbowing each other now. You know, the point is you don't know what you don't know. And only when you study His word, His ways, His plan, will we learn that stuff. Husband is the servant leader. Loving and leading is his primary role. We spoke about that. Wife is the most comparable helper. She's not like an add-on or sort of there. She is the equal opposite in honoring and submitting to Him because God said so. And both working towards a harmonious one flesh marriage in a family. And so today we're going to have a lot of scripture because I think it's good to learn from the Bible and not from what my clever ideas are. And we're going to have some diagrams to help us. So number one, there are some encouragement to strengthen your marriage. Now, bear in mind, some of the stuff I'm going to say, you might go, yeah, but that's not about marriage. It is. It's all about the family. And it might not directly talk to about husbands or wives, but directly, let me explain. Proverbs 3:33 says, He blesses the house of the righteous. Are you a righteous household? He blesses it. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Now that is obviously not talking to husbands and wives. He's talking to the whole tribe of Israel at the time. The big family factor. And so we've got to learn to have a look at both of those. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I think we need to remember that more. How much have I been forgiven that I, when it comes to my opportunity to forgive? Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Matthew 19:5, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Too often in this modern day society, we get married, and then the first thing, we run home to mommy and daddy. We got to stick together and work this out together in God. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Very clear. I love the imperatives in scriptures. I think I've said that a million times. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. Now you might go, yeah, well, that's good for you, Mark. I'm single. Well, then this is your big family right now, currently. And until you receive a partner, then you can live with the other stuff. If you're feeling cold, snuggle up. Well, not literally, but get together with people. Woe to him who falls and there's no one to lift him up. If you're going through a tough time, the word came this morning. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. If you're going through a tough time, find a buddy that you can share your heart with. Learn to be vulnerable with one another. If a man prevails against one who is alone, two will stand with him. We will stand with you together as family, as the big fish. You know the old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, all that kind of stuff. Productivity, they have a good reward for their labor. There is help in need. If you fall, someone can pick you up and help you. If there's comfort in life, if you need comfort, somebody will keep you warm, not physically if you're single, but you know what I mean? Just safety and security. I trust I don't have to explain everything all the time. How about some more ways to survey and build and strengthen your family bridge? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. I know some families, you spend more time debating and arguing than you actually do forcing going forward. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We live in a fallen world. These are evil days we're living in. We're being bombarded from every aspect, from every possible angle. Think of an angle. The evil days are vying for your attention. everything ungodly, says, look at me, and this is how we should behave, and this is how we should do it. It's not the answer. Christ is the answer. The fallen world is under the influence of our sworn enemy, the devil. He is the ruler of the universe here, the earthly realm. Everything we believe and we say we are, we're under attack. Our marriages, our family, your businesses. No, it's okay. Just scarve some money off there. Just don't be fully integrated in your business. Man, can I just, I know, sorry, just put, it's not in my notes. If you're in business, so, you know, Bible buzz, God hates these things. You know, one thing I hate is if you're a businessman and your Christian brother comes to you and offers to do it, you know, you want to do a job for them, and then they say, I know, can we cut the price? You know, I'm your Christian brother. That's unbiblical. It's not in the Bible. The Bible says a man is worthy of his wages. I hate it when Christians throw the Christian card into the ring and say, no, brother, just give me a cheaper price because you get people to quote and you give the business. And if you wanted to give the business to your brother, then give it to him. Don't make him drop his prices to satisfy you. Anyway, I'm sorry, I just threw that in there. I don't know why, but I just did. It's maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Where are we? We are the very representation of godly marriages. And we at every level are under attack. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now again, we don't take it off when we go to bed at night and put it on in the morning. That thing, once we come to Christ, we should put that on and leave it on. Don't take it off. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We get to choose on a daily basis to strengthen our family bridge, to build our family together, to build this family together, to build your family at home together. And that's a blessing. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I know some of you guys are going, I need to talk to you. You have no idea what you say. No, I do. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Weaker is not less than. It's not like, well, you see, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, as most men are with their wives. The weaker is not that. It actually means she is more delicate. And what you need to do is treat her like crystal glass. I said last time, run your fingers over her soul to see how she's doing. Treat her like crystal glass. You know, last time I spoke, we spoke about how men love to polish their golf clubs and their motor cars, and they neglect polishing their children. And I'm just saying to you, men, instead of or wives trying to polish all the silver and the brass, learn to polish your wives. Recognize that we are one flesh. Not excluding one another. No secrets. We are not meant to have secrets in marriages. Yeah, well, you don't understand. No, I do. I lived there. That was part of our lifestyle. I get it. We have to assume a positive intent on other person's behalf. Remember this. No one ever went into marriage thinking, oh, I can't wait to get married and see I'm going to fail at this. We went in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, excited that I'm marrying the man or the woman of my dreams and we're going to have a fantastic life together. And then the vagaries of life come. Can go back to God's word. And I know, I can speak for myself also. My intentions are always good, but sometimes my methodology is not great. It's flawed. I need to learn something from this. She needs love. He needs respect. So I want us to have a look at what are, for another term, biblical expressions of the marriage, or some non-biblical expressions on there. So the first slide. So we here have a little slide. One says rejection and the other one says absorption. Now, those are both negative extremes in marriage. If you are constantly being rejected, then you learn to live independent. I'm going to do my thing, you do your thing. And we'll meet at mealtimes. You get it? The opposite end of that spectrum is absorption. It means that you're so trodden down, so pushed down, that you're just absorbed into that person's life. And what that means is that you become codependent on them. And then you can't make a decision for yourself. You can't go to the shop and buy a $25 item. You can't make a decision. You can't, I'm so codependent now, I have to do it. Both of those are negative. And what we have to do is we have to find a balance in covenant living as God intended for us to do it. So, next slide. So that one shows us that we are interdependent, meaning this, 1 Corinthians 11:11. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. And so we have to understand, we don't want to live in these two extremes. We need to find the balance in our marriage. And what works for you? Well, what works for us is not particularly what might work for you. We had many rocky years in the beginning. I'm just being vulnerable. But thank you to God. Praise God. We decided, no, this was worth fighting for. So I want to walk us through three states of marriages. And I've called these states fading marriage, a fatiguing marriage, and a flawless marriage. Now, I know we don't always get perfectly flawless, but anyway. So, number one, fading marriages means that both the husband and the wife live habitually selfish, which means that they both live all the time. You live, we live, hurt, your anger, you're frustrated. You play the blame game all the time. It's not my fault, it's her fault, or it's not my fault, it's his fault. Criticize each other, and you live in retaliatory mood, retaliation all the time. Now, sound like a politician now, let me be clear. Bible does not support or celebrate this type of marriage. It's very quiet in here today. I'm trying to help you. The next one is a fatiguing marriage, where one partner is habitually selfish and the other one is habitually unselfish. And what that really means is, say, if the husband is selfish, means he's demanding, has unreasonable expectations, and the focus of attention is me, I. You know, there's no I in team, we said. And the wife is unselfish, which means that she is constantly sacrificing for her. It's a form of slavery. She always feels she's not good enough. She has unmet desires and needs. But then, of course, the next one, vice versa, is also true, also a fatiguing marriage, where the husband is unselfish. And then he's always making sacrifices, constantly sacrificing. For him, it's a form of slavery. He often feels not good enough and has unmet desires and needs. And the wife is, she remains selfish. And they find that she's demanding, she's got unreasonable and the focus of attention is all on her. It's all about me and how I feel. Well, let me be clear. Bible does not support or celebrate this type of marriage. And the last one is a flawless marriage. Both are habitually unselfish. Husband and wife constantly supporting one another, constantly encouraging or being encouraged, serving one another, considering and sacrificing for one another. And the Bible does support this and blesses and celebrates this type of marriage. Now, I know as we go through marriages, these things might get mixed up a little bit, but this is where we got to aim for. And so I just want to give a little bit of biblical wisdom for men and women. We give a sacrificial love. There's all the scriptures there. I don't have time. Be considerate to a woman. Be respectful of her. Be gentle. That scripture there. Don't be harsh with her. I know, and I hope this comes across well, I can almost get Bridget to jump through hoops when I'm kind to her, when I speak nicely to her. Not manipulating, but just being genuinely kind and sweet in spirit. So some biblical wisdom for women, and vice versa, of course. Intentional submission. This is, again, we've been over this a number of times. This is not because you say so, husband. It's because God says so. It's a mutual. Be pure, meaning pure in conduct, peaceful in quiet. This does not mean having a timid personality. You know, I've often said it, and the men have heard it a number of times. Strong women are not the issue. Weak men are. Not one woman said amen to that. Wow. She said, I thought you'd be jumping up and running around the room. Be gentle with him. Now, the question is, how do we practically do this? So we've looked at some scripture and some Bible, but how do we practically do this? And I'm going to use the acronym COUPLE to look at this. So Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, so the important part is let each one of you love the wife as himself. Number one, we need close-up. She needs close-up time, guys. Learn to express love in a way she can hear you with her heart. Close-up and personal means face-to-face time. You know, just being together doesn't cut it for her. Men like shoulder time. We can just like hang out and rah and all the good stuff. And that doesn't cut it for her. She actually needs face-to-face time. She needs to. Women are expressive and responsive, if you didn't get this. Women, here we go, need more verbal time than men do. These are just realities. The clever people say that women need 60,000 words a day and men need 30,000 or something like that. I know for me, probably 15,000. You know, I love when Bridget goes out and she comes out. I love her to tell me, so what was your day? And when she comes home and gives me the mock response, I'm like, no, babes, that's not good enough. What happened? And then she goes into reams of explanation of where she was and what she did and how she did it. And I'm excited to hear it. Then she wants to know, so how was your day? And I go, yeah, it was great. I'm all done with my 5 words for the day. The second one is open communication. We need communication at every level. Be open with her. Do not close her out. Men are good with each other when we don't know what to say. We can be quiet and grunt and be happy. And scream and shout at the TV screen if we need to. You know, for the wife, the strong, silent type, the epitome of Hollywood, yeah, it doesn't quite work with her. That's the personification of this Hollywood thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, and some of you are movie buffs, you go, and I love you go through the whole thing and you go realize, man, that guy had a lot of lines to learn. Oh, yeah, nah. And that was it. We think it's honorable, men. We think it's honorable to keep things bottled up. And then our emotions get all out of whack. So I have to go for a walk or a run or go and bang my head against the door wall or something like that. Don't bottle things up. Express yourselves. She needs that more than you need that. Okay? Number three, understanding. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now that actually understanding, I know some of you guys think, man, I've tried. I do not understand this woman that God gave me. I know, I get it. But that's talking about the knowledge. We need to understand the knowledge. Make your wife your student, or you become a student of your wife to understand this. Give honor to her as an heir of the grace we have together. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again because husbands often don't get it. We do not have to fix everything. I know, we don't listen well because the minute she starts talking, Our brain's already in gear on how we're going to fix this now. And she doesn't need you. And so, I mean, can I be honest? We just did it like grade one kids when I was learning this myself. I said, babes, do I have to fix this or are you just telling me? No, I'm just telling you. Oh, okay. Then my brain can go, and then just listen to her. And I know in the beginning, you don't know, do I have to fix this? Do I have to say something? Do I have to go do something? Learn, be a student of your wife. Understand that we don't need to fix everything. Just give her opportunity, express her heart to you. And listen intently. Leading, understanding is not keeping her out of decisions. That is dishonoring. And then we think we can fix it by buying gifts. And then you wonder, I bought her the most expensive perfume. She just like, well, she's ticked with you. You decided you're just going to go and buy another car or something. You didn't bring her into the conversation, or you made a critical decision for your family and you didn't bring her into it. Where are we? P for peacemaker. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now I want to stress peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Peacekeeper is when you're feeling that you've been absorbed into this marriage and I'm too frightened to say anything. I feel like I'm walking around on eggshells. You know that expression? We want to be peacemakers. Means you don't have to win all the time. Because most men, everything's a competition. We think it's a your marriage is not a competition. Because when you think you have to win all the time, it's so you're becoming a right fighter, and then you actually feel that you have to actually win to make this right. And it's controlling. Communication is not competitive. It's a two-way street, not a two-way sport. Don't shelve things. You know, we've heard us talk about men are from Mars, women are from Visa. You've heard that? Well, how about this one? Men are waffles and women are spaghetti. Yeah, a waffle's got all those little compartmental squares and the spaghetti's all intertwined and touching on everything and everything. Men compartmentalize things. We're waffles. We put this thing in these places. Women are like, oh, no, let's get all together and get gooey together and spaghetti together. Example, if you hang your Christmas lights or hang some lights up and one bulb is out, typical man will go, yeah, okay, well, there's 50 that are working, 49 that are working, it's just the 150 that's out. No. For the woman, if one is not working, they're all not working in her head. And you're going, you know, we can see the one is out, babes, but look, the whole street light the street is up. It's good, it's working. No. That's why men run around in the dark most of the time. Because we don't get it. We have to find the understanding of one another. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? See that one? I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Those are the six most powerful words a husband, a man can ever utter. Why? Because translated for her means an increase of your love for her. When you refuse to apologize, now we don't apologize in our family. Okay? How's it working for you? L for loyal, one woman man. Be a one woman man. Don't compare your wife to other women. I'm just telling you, it's like throwing a hand grenade into a zone. Oh, isn't she got a lovely dress? And you should learn to dress like that. And now I'm getting a result. There we go. So you're not asleep. You're with me. Did you know how nicely she puts her makeup on? Have you ever got the steely dance there? I know as a kid, my mother, she only had to look at me and she could melt me from the inside out. Hot tip, men, I know some of you are going to disagree with me, but I'm telling you, I'm not asking your permission. Married men do not have girlfriends. I know often some of the ladies want to be my friends on Facebook. And until I've discussed it with them or my wife, I won't accept that. It's just, not that I don't like you, it's just sorry? Wise. It's just wise. There we go. There's my wisdom of truth. Always speak highly of her, especially in front of other people. No put downs. Watch how you joke about your wife, you know, whether you're in private or in public. And sometimes we men, we fail at that horribly. Esteem her, last one in the couple, esteem her. Your wife is and must be number one. Hashtag number one. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Now, I know we quoted that thing often, and but you have to understand that we know in the Bible, when it talks about the word, there's the rhema word and the logos word. The logos word is the written word. The rhema word is the spoken word. This does not mean men quoting scripture at your wife. Because that's a good defense mechanism. Well, do you know what the Bible says? It says this. I was just washing her with the water. No. What that actual scripture really means is that what you say to her and what you speak over her, not about quoting scripture to her all the time. You know, like Esther, if you go and read the book of Esther, you'll see for over a year, she was pampered and purified in oils and perfumes and being prepared for her husband. How are you doing with your words, and how are you purifying and washing your wife with the water of the word? Okay, so the ladies are feeling pretty good about themselves by now, so let's have a look at some practical expressions of respect to the husband. Women, remember, women are love-oriented, men are respect-oriented. Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Number one, appreciate his desire to work and achieve. But you're always at the office. You're always spending time at the office. You haven't got time for me. Meanwhile, the guy is working his bones to make a thing. And I trust me, let me also call you. I understand there is the workaholic. I can say I go to Workaholics Anonymous. I am a workaholic. I'm just so now you know. But, you know, if you never see your kids, if you never see your wife, if it's because you're at the office all the time, your balance is out of whack. Genesis 1:2-15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. That was before he got Eve, before he got the comparable helper. He was given a task and an opportunity. Now, I know in our society we live with mostly two incomes, often by necessity and not by design. But this doesn't take away the inbuilt, inherent need for a man to work and to provide. Now, most men don't even know that. They don't even get it. But there's an inbuilt thing in us to work and provide. So to wives, when last did you take the opportunity and go, and I know you probably also work, but how about, this is about him and not about you now, how about you going, you know, Bob, buddy, pick a name. I'll be careful. thank you so much for working and providing for this family. Do not minimize God's design in this. He has a need to provide and protect, like she has a need to nurture. And I know you don't have these conversations, but these are just inbuilt things. I saw a thing that Cesar Millan, we all know who Cesar Millan is, the dog whisperer dude. And this lady had a cattle dog, an Australian heeler, and bred for generation to generation to work. I know most dogs had a reason why they were bred. And this dog, they got it as a puppy, and then a little bit golden, and then it became super like aggressive. And then it wanted to bite the neighbor's dog and bite the neighbor and bite this one. And so they loved this dog, so they were like, oh, call Caesar. So they called Caesar. And he said, oh, okay. And listened to the history of this dog and how the parents came from cattle farm stock and they were bred to be They cattle healers, that's what they call that, they to herd the cattle. So Caesar said, okay, bring your dog, put him in the, found a friend who has got a farm with cattle on it, took the dog and let the dog loose in the thing, and they were like, oh, he's going to attack all the cattle. This dog went out and he went like a kid with Lego in a Lego store. He ran around and he was herding the cattle and he was nipping where he's supposed to and barking and getting, and he was so excited and came back. His tongue was this big and this long and he was calm. And they said, what's the problem? He said, no problem. He's just doing what he's bred to do. It's inbuilt in him. He just knows to do this stuff. And if you don't ever give him this opportunity, he won't know what to do with himself. And so this, anyway, I hope you get the lesson. What I'm trying to say, if your husband loses his job or things aren't that great, the worst thing you can say, ladies, don't worry, babes, we got each other. Don't worry, babes, we'll find another job for you. If I could be so bold as to step out and say, in the same vein, men get it, but they don't get it when a woman is about to have a baby, and if she miscarriages the baby, and then the husband says, it's okay, babes, you've got other children and we can have more. They both are very insensitive to the person. And so be careful with our word, appreciate his desire. Second one is to serve and to lead. It's not helpful if your attitude is, he can lead me as long as we're going where I want to go. That would be like me saying to God, it's okay, God. Carmichael brought the word this morning. It's all right, God, I've got a plan. I know what I'm doing. If you just come along and rubber stamp my plan for me, we're good to go. No. Our society is upside down. Most men feel inferior spiritually when it comes to the verbal side of it. And often that's not true, but it's the way we put it across. Leading is difficult. Appreciate that he's actually stepping up and has a desire to lead and serve his family. Don't adjudicate his attempts at open prayer meetings or read scriptures to him. Don't you be quoting scripture to him all the time either. You will destroy him. Affirm him and his high value and his insight, not in a condescending way, ladies. You know, if you don't know it by now, ladies can be way smarter with their mouths than men can. This is all good news, right? Wow. Yeah, no, I'm smarter than she is. Yeah, you think so. Anyway, affirm him and have values insight. Number three, whatever I've got there, be a companion. You remember, ladies, you're meant to be a comparable helper, not less than, but comparable. Remembering the woman's need to face time all the time. Well, remember, his need is just shoulder-to-shoulder time. Yeah, if it even it means just going to hold the screwdriver while he's doing something, spend time with him. You know, if he's cutting the lawn, you bring the drink out to him. Babes, I'm with you, I'm supporting you. Not now, get it yourself. Make an effort to do shoulder-to-shoulder time with him. Ay, ay, ay. You know, spend time watching the game together. Oh, I don't like sport. Well, actually, it's not about the game. It's just shoulder time. Bridget has become very animated and excited about Olympics. Opposite of respect is disrespect. Ladies, when you show contempt, when he makes a suggestion that you just out of hand dismiss. No, we're not doing that. He's still trying to formulate his words because he's only got 15,000, you or 30,000, you got 60,000. He's trying to formulate it well. All those long sighs. Shake your head. Sometimes just a flat no. Or the sideways glances, or the way you roll your eyes. That's showing contempt for your husband. When you criticize. Now, when I use the word criticize, but when you want to, like, you think you're being helpful, and you want to tell him now how to do this thing, and you think you're being helpful, your language is, I'm loving you and I'm trying to help you to do this better, to make you a better person. He's thinking, I wish you wouldn't nag me. To man, it's just simply disrespectful and deemed as nagging. You're not your husband's mother. You mother your children, but not your husband. Learn his intimacy language. Affair proof your marriage. Let me, hot tip, most affairs commence with respect and honor from other people. It doesn't commence with sexual foreplay. Foreplay commences, the earliest form is affirmation by others. You're such a handsome guy, you're so good. And this obviously often happens in the workplace. So in closing, building the bridge family. Building this bridge family takes time and effort to make sure that it is weight-bearing load is a match for your family. We need godly marriages to pass on to the next generation and to be examples for others. We don't want to live in a fading or fatiguing marriage. We want to live in flawless marriages. We want a God's hand of blessing upon us. That will bring health to the family. I hope this didn't come across very harsh this morning. It was meant to help us and to encourage us and to make us go forward building our bridge family.